Hollywood is about to close out a record-breaking $11.2 billion year. The big draws were talking animals, superheroes, and yet another new batch of Star Warriors. Movie studios are celebrating, and people who go to the movies have a lot to celebrate too, according to our critic Bob Mondello. Here's his wrap-up of the year's best movies.
Most years, there are several films that could fill the number one slot on my list. This year, there's no contest. My favorite picture is the most rewarding coming-of-age film in many a moon, Moonlight, about a withdrawn African-American youngster growing up in Miami, where, as a friend notes, the beach breezes offer a respite from the pressures of home and adolescence.
Sometimes around the way where we live, you catch that same breeze. Just come through the hood, and it's like everything stopped for a second. Everything just gets quiet, you know?
And it's like all you can hear is your own heartbeat.
Make you want to cry, feel so good.
You cry?
Nah. It makes me want to.
Luminous, but also tough and startling, Moonlight is both a coming-of-age and a coming-out story, the most lyrical of the fiercely resonant pictures that are helping the film industry combat its stubbornly persistent lack of diversity problem. Among the others, two extraordinary documentaries, I Am Not Your Negro, which uses the words of James Baldwin to analyze American attitudes on race.
The future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country.
Director Raoul Peck blends archival footage of Baldwin speaking softly but bluntly with excerpts from an unpublished book he was working on at the time of his death. A companion piece to I Am Not Your Negro is the documentary 13th, in which Ava DuVernay, the director of Selma, dissects the wording of the Constitution's 13th Amendment. It outlawed slavery and involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime. The film forcefully argues that that loophole has been used for politics and for profit.
Now have more African Americans under criminal supervision than all the slaves back in the 1850s.
Then there's the love story that led to a landmark civil rights decision. The Loving decision is how it's known in the courts. At the multiplex, it's just Loving, named after a couple who met and married in the late 1950s, only to have the state of Virginia step in.
What you doing in bed with that woman?
I'm his wife.
That's no good here.
The segregated state of Virginia.
Richard Perry Loving, being a white person, and Mildred Jeter, being a colored person, did unlawfully cohabitate as man and wife.
Their case went all the way to the Supreme Court. The movie goes there, too. But what makes it effective on screen is the intimate romance. We should all be so lucky in love. The wrenching drama Manchester by the Sea is about a man who is not lucky in love or in life. Casey Affleck plays the reluctant guardian of a teenager who is not making his guardianship easier.
I'm not moving to Boston, Uncle.
I don't want to talk about that
right now.
You said
he left you money so you could move.
Yeah, that doesn't mean...
Anyway, what's in Boston? You're a janitor.
So what?
You could do that anywhere. There's plenty of toilets and clogged up drains all over town.
I don't want to talk.
All my friends are here. I'm on the hockey team. I'm on the basketball team. I got two girlfriends, and I'm in a band. You're a janitor in Quincy. What the hell do you care where you live?
The answer to that question opens up a whole world of hurt in Manchester by the Sea. That's five of my top ten. The next two are lighter and substantially more weird. The Lobster is a comedy about a society that so values coupledom that living alone is outlawed. When Colin Farrell's wife leaves him, he's packed off to a hotel where the manager explains that guests have 45 days to couple up. And failure to do so has a price.
Now, the fact that you'll turn into an animal if you fail to fall in love with someone during your stay here is not something that should upset you. Just think, as an animal, you'll have a second chance to find a companion. But even then, you must be careful. You need to choose a companion that is a similar type of animal to you. A wolf and a penguin could never live together, nor could a camel and a hippopotamus. That would be absurd.
Yes, it would. The Lobster is Claws Down, the weirdest romantic comedy of the year. Also offbeat is Tony Erdmann, an almost three-hour German comedy. I know, not on a bet, right? But it's really funny and wise. Tony Erdmann is the name that a dad who's a practical joker adopts when pranking his daughter.
Happy birthday.
She's so intent on climbing the corporate ladder, she's lost her sense of humor. Hollywood will surely remake Tony Erdmann, but you'd be wise to catch the original. Another foreign film that uses a name as its title, I, Daniel Blake, is about an Englishman who's had a heart attack and finds that that's only the beginning of his problems once the National Health Service gets involved.
You have to apply online, sir.
I can't do that. You give me a plot of land, I can build you a house. But I've never been anywhere near a computer.
There's a special number if you've been diagnosed as dyslexic.
Right, well, can you give us that? Because with computers, I'm dyslexic.
You'll find it online, sir.
From Red Tape to The Red Turtle, one of two gorgeous animated films among the year's best, it's from Japan's Studio Ghibli and blends elements of several styles of animation to tell an almost wordless Robinson Crusoe-style tale of a shipwrecked sailor and the enormous tortoise that doesn't want him to leave its otherwise deserted isle. Deliberate and painterly, Red Turtle is a zen-like treat. Another animated film, Kubo and the Two Strings, comes from American filmmakers but adopts the form of a Japanese folktale. Credit the filmmakers for living up to its first line.
If you must blink, do it now.
Excellent advice for a film that plays with digital origami.
Pay careful attention to everything you see and hear.
The stories about family and personal fortitude, the images are exquisite. That is 10, which is an arbitrary number, and I've got both more time and more films worth getting excited about, so let's keep going. The best Western of the year is a cops and robbers shoot 'em up starring Jeff Bridges called Hell or High Water. The best superhero epic, and the only one that made me laugh in quite a while, is Deadpool.
You're gonna do a superhero landing. Wait for it!
Ryan Reynolds is the fourth wall-breaking title character.
Woo! Yeah, that's really hard on your knees.
Totally impractical. They all do it.
Deadpool is a superhero flick for the cynical 14-year-old in everyone. The uncynical 13-year-old in everyone would likely get a kick out of Little Men, about two kids in Brooklyn, or Lion, which follows a displaced child from India to Australia and back again. And for more adult tastes, there's a whole brace of stories with theatrical roots. Start with Fences, Denzel Washington's terrific adaptation of August Wilson's Pulitzer-winning play.
Hey, Pop. Can I ask you a question? How come you ain't never liked me?
Like you? What law is there say I got to like you?
None.
Also springing from theater, there's The Salesman, an Iranian stunner about a couple who are appearing in Death of a Salesman. And you probably know that Meryl Streep recently played a terrible opera singer. Did you know there's a French film that does the story even better? It's called Marguerite. And the best way to get that sound out of your ears and to end this list of bests is with the musical La La Land, which is sweetly, swoonably in love with movies, as are we all, right? I'm Bob Mondello.
Summer Sunday nights, we'd sink into our seats right as they dimmed out all the lights. A technicolor world made out of music and machine. It called me to be on.